With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, along with Gary Larrabee, and ordinarily we talk with Gary on these Monday evenings. Here it is, the first of the week, and Gary, not the usual format that we have, but welcome back, and how are you doing?
Great to be with you, Rick, and I'm always ready to talk golf. You know that.
Absolutely, and you know, it's great now, Gary. We have you on at the beginning of the week, and then we have you on at the end of the week with our new partnership with the North Shore Sports Desk with Nick and Nick. So it's great to have you on twice a week. We get the whole week's worth of golf information, so that's really cool. But I want to start off with, I guess, sort of a somber note, Gary. We've lost a couple of icons here on the North Shore recently.
We have. Most recently, we just lost Kip Tyler, who had been the course superintendent at Salem Country Club for 38 years. He retired at the end of the 2019 season. We have a great man replacing Kip in Bill Rocco, who came to Salem from Pine Valley. But a very sad story. Kip retired. He had one good year of retirement. Then he got this terrible prognosis, a terminal cancer prognosis, and unfortunately he passed away on Saturday at 67. But he's left an amazing legacy at Salem Country Club, hosting three USGA championships during his tenure. And I don't believe, Rick, that any other golf course superintendent in New England has hosted three USGA championships over the last 40 years, which Kip has done. So it's quite a feather in Kip's cap. He did a great job for 38 years at Salem, and he's gone far too young, but the longest-serving golf course superintendent as well on the North Shore ever, except for Eugene Skip Logan, who was the superintendent at Essex from 1914 to 1957. That's 44 years. So a great loss, but he had a great life, and he leaves a great legacy of golf here on the North Shore, and he will be terribly missed.
And that also speaks, I think, Gary, not only to the talent of the man, but also to his love for it, for what he was doing.
Indeed. And, of course, when you can survive 38 years at a great club like Salem, where no matter where you're working, you have 350 or 400 bosses, you only answer maybe to one or two people, but you may get complaints from 350 or 400 members. Mm-hmm. And for Kip to survive there and really thrive, I shouldn't say survive, but thrive, mm-hmm, for 38 years is an extraordinary testament to his talents, his personality, and the fact that he was considered one of the outstanding superintendents, not only in the North Shore and in Massachusetts, but New England and the entire country.
Wow. Okay. And we lost someone else this recently, Gar?
We lost one of our great club professionals of the last 50 years, Paul Barkhouse, Lynn Bourne, Lynn Bred, Happy Valley, Ferncroft, Ipswich Country Club, and most recently he retired 5 years ago after 50-plus odd years in the business as a club pro at Woburn. Paul passed away just a couple of weeks ago at the age of 82. But a great player. We know him most well, Rick, for his great talent as a player, his great personality, always friendly to everybody. If you met Paul for 5 seconds, you became a friend for life. He won a whole bunch of tournaments. He won the New England Open. He won the Mass Open. He won two New Hampshire Opens. He won three Maine Opens. He won the New England PGA Match Play Championship in 75. But just a great personality in the section over the years, a former tournament director for the New England PGA. Terribly, terrible loss, but a great life and another great legacy he has left for us from his memories and all a million laughs. And Paul Barkhouse going at 82.
Well, as we move on into the twilight, Gary, it's great to have those people remembered. It's great to share the memories, and when you and just as you were doing, I mean, I could see you smiling as you're talking about both of these gentlemen with terrific memories of happy times you must have had.
So true, and I'll have those memories forever.
Absolutely. Okay, changing the subject, Gary. Looking at the Salem News, you have a column that's terrific in the summertime called Reading the Greens. And I'm blown away by this headline. It says, Emmerich Brothers are North Shore's best golfing pair ever. Explain.
Well, they're brothers, of course. We have Aiden Emmerich, who's playing as we speak in the first round of the USGA Junior Championship at Abandoned Dunes. He's joined there by Beverly's Aiden LeBlanc. And his brother, Aiden Emmerich's brother, Christian, is about to play in his second U.S. Amateur Championship in a couple of weeks at Ridgewood Country Club in New Jersey. So that's two USGA Junior Championships now for Aiden Emmerich. And soon there will be two USGA Amateur Championships for his older brother, Christian, who's a senior at Holy Cross in the fall. Aiden will be a freshman at Michigan State in September. And all over these years, I mean, I've done a lot of research on this too, Rick. We've had a lot of great golfing brothers around here over the years, but no one can compare with the accomplishment that they have already achieved strictly at the USGA level. And you may have seen where Christian shot 62 last week and just missed winning the New England Amateur by one shot down in Rhode Island. They keep playing great, and this is the ultimate challenge for this week for Aiden LeBlanc and Aiden Emmerich. And the next great challenge for Christian comes up in 2 weeks at Ridgewood Country Club. But these two young men, they play out of Kernwood. They live in Swampscott. They went to St. Mary's of Lynn. Have just reached new heights that I've never seen, Rick, in all my years of hanging around watching golf here on the North Shore and writing about it. Never seen the level of accomplishment I have seen already by Aiden Emmerich and Christian Emmerich.
Well, that's saying something, because I know just on our show with you and Tim, you've mentioned over the years several combinations, the most recent, which in my mind comes to Sala Brothers and so on, who were pretty successful overall. But, man, these guys must have a great future for them.
I think so. But I think we also should mention, I think most recently, the Turner Brothers in Gloucester. They both played in USGA championships, and James, the older of the two, won the New England Amateur at Hartford, Rick, in record fashion, shooting 65-67 on the final day to win, I believe, by five shots. But that would be, you know, James and Mark Turner. They both played in USGA championships, but boy, the Emmerichs have done them one better, and let's see where they go from here.
Yeah, that's cool. That's way cool, Gare. Now, speaking of cool, you know, the Open, it's still, to me, the British Open. That's always cool over there when it's at St. Andrews. What's your reflection on that tournament, Gary? Because it got a tremendous amount of coverage from every sports source you can imagine.
Well, the fact that it was the 150th British Open Championship, they call it the Open Championship over there, and a lot of the players consider it. And Gary Player talked about this in the New York Times during Open Championship Week at St. Andrews. This is really the World Championship of golf. Players from all over the world play in this tournament, unlike the U.S. Open. They get players from other countries, too, but I think it's an extraordinary tournament. They played the 150th at St. Andrews. And once again, Rick, the youthful brigade has taken charge. We had Matthew Fitzpatrick at the U.S. Open at Brookline. We had Scottie Scheffler, win the Masters at Augusta National. And now this past week we had a fantastic finish at the British Open. I'm drawing a blank for the moment, Rick. I'm trying to remember who won the tournament.
Oh, boy. I just had it up here a minute ago, too, Gary. You go ahead. I'll find it.
But it's another example, another under 25, under 30 young player who we had been waiting to see breakthrough. And I don't have that name in front of me, but he won by one shot.
Smith? Is it Smith?
Cameron Smith.
Smith,
of course.
Yeah.
With the long blonde hair, mm-hmm. we knew he was going to win a major championship, and a great young man from Australia, and rather ironic, isn't it, Rick, that we have an Australian winning the British Open, and another great Australian player was not even allowed to participate.
Yep, yep.
In the festivities before the main event that started on Thursday, and Greg Norman, who's of course the notorious leader of the LIV Tour,
LIV, yep,
by the Saudi Arabian government, that comes to international in Bolton, Massachusetts over Labor Day weekend.
We got to talk about that at some point, Gary, and the controversy and so on, and maybe Tim can join us with that, because you know how he is with that stuff. He's so conversant in it. But I want to ask you about going back to the British Open. With Smith shooting a 20 under par on what seems to be one of the toughest courses in the world. As the great unwashed looks at it, and with my inexperience, it seems to be a very difficult course. And here he fired 20 under.
Yeah. So the circumstances were right for that, Rick. It was dry. There was no rain. The course played very short for 7,300 yards, whatever St. Andrews was playing by that week. But these players are becoming such great putters and great shot makers. Mm-hmm. There's so many of them, because we've had this conversation with Tim time and time again. And here is another situation where it's not a pitch and putt course, but the course played very short for most of those long hitters. And of course, the best players out there, Rick, are hitting at 300 yards off the tee. And in Cameron Smith's situation, he is one of the leading putters in the world right now. And he was a phenomenal putter, especially the last nine of the tournament. He made like four or five birdies in a row in the back nine. Just gave him a chance to overtake the other leaders and hold on by a shot. But these guys are so good, hit it so far, they can putt so well, many of them. And that was Rory McIlroy's downfall. He was the people's choice. He was leading going into the last round, tied for the lead. And he just putted, deserted him in that last round. And as has been the story in big money golf, Rick, forever, no matter how you drive for show and you putt for dough. And the greatest putter in the world right now is Cameron Smith, and he showed it in that last 18 holes at St. Andrews.
All right, Gary, should we mention he who should not be mentioned? What's your opinion on that whole thing?
Well, it looks like Tiger's finished because of physical limitations. It's probably the end of an era. He wants to play some more competition, but the fact that what we've seen him play in the three majors he played in this year, missing the cut in two of them and playing really horribly at St. Andrews, at the age of 46, Rick, it looks like his time is pretty much over on the regular tour. I think he has such an enormous ego. I don't think he'll want to go near the Champions Tour, which is for the big name players over 50.
Right.
But who knows where his journey will take him from here. He may need some more medical issues. He may have some more surgeries. Who knows? But 15 majors isn't bad, Rick. And
yeah.
A lot of players out there think he's the greatest player of all time, but I'll still take Nicklaus.
Okay, well, I got to interrupt you, because I saw, nostalgia-wise, prior to the Open, there were some interviews on some sports channels with Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player, who are still very vibrant. And if Nicklaus is not the greatest of all time, I don't think Tiger Woods is.
Well, there's a valid argument to disagree with that observation that you and I share, but it's a great conversation piece on the 19th hole.
Yep.
We'll see where it goes from here. But Jack is really struggling, I think. Health-wise, at 82, he's not saying too much about it, but he's having a difficult time walking. And nonetheless, we can talk about it forever. And let's wait for the President's Cup in September. And actually, before that, we've got the PGA Tour playoffs coming up, the FedEx playoffs, the end of August. So still a lot to look out for. And, of course, the LIV Tour comes to international in Bolton on Labor Day weekend.
Okay, so coming up this week, you have a column coming up, and you will be on Nick and Nick. Can you tease any of that, or is it a little too early?
No, my next column in the Salem News will talk about the upgrading in the golf program at one of my favorite clubs and favorite courses, Ferncroft Country Club, out there on off Route 95 in Davis, Middleton, Topsfield. They have a fantastic ownership group that's based in Virginia, Charlottesville, Virginia. But they have spent big money up there to upgrade Ferncroft Country Club, new clubhouse in recent years. They just put on a new head professional so they could promote longtime head pro Phil Leese to director of golf. They've got the longtime superintendent, Mike Cassidy from Swampscott. Things are going great at Ferncroft Country Club, and we'll be writing about that this week.
All right, that's Gary Larrabee, sports historian and golf writer with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.